the Word of God found in 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. The Word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. I'd like you to take a moment and just kind of imagine, if you could place yourself back in time, and that you were along with John the Baptist as one of his disciples when John the Baptist was baptizing. And maybe you had the privilege of being a disciple with him when he was baptizing Jesus himself. And you got to witness as he took, he had a little discussion with Jesus about, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this is so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. And so John the Baptist takes Jesus under the water, brings him back up. And you were able to witness the heavens torn open and the Spirit of God descending, not as a dove, but like a dove, softly coming down upon Jesus and entering into him. And then you would hear the booming voice out of heaven that this is my son. And Jesus immediately goes into the wilderness for 40 days. Maybe you were there then. If not, maybe you came to walk with John the Baptist sometime after that, as John the Baptist then continues to tell people, you know, this is what happened. The one who's coming after me, who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. This one, he came, and when he came up out of the water, the Spirit descended on him. And a voice declared it was God's Son. This is the one. And then, while you're with John the Baptist, Jesus comes back out of the 40 days of wilderness. And you're walking with John the Baptist, and he sees Jesus, and he looks at you, and he says, behold the Lamb of God who has come. Behold the Lamb, the one who will give forgiveness and redemption. And you're there, and you get to see Jesus walking by. The Scriptures tell us that 2 days later, the next day, two disciples were with John the Baptist. And again, they see Jesus, and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist pointing to his own disciples, this is the one. And the Scripture tells us that those two go and they encounter Jesus. And they go up and they say, where are you staying? And Jesus responds, he says, come and see. Jesus is captivated by their love and he loves them so much, he invites them to go home with him. Can you imagine what it's like if you're captivated by love so much that God himself invites you to come home? Have you ever seen something that just captivated your heart right away? Ever encountered something that just your heart just gets attached to it quickly? A number of years ago, our oldest daughter, she was looking for a job. She was in between jobs at the time, out of college, and getting more depressed as she was not able to find that. And she'd been with her grandmother, and they just happened to, just out of a whim, stopped in a pet store. And she saw a puppy that just stirred her heart. But then the puppy was sold before she decided whether or not she wanted it. And so she's heartbroken because that puppy had kind of grasped her heart. And she came back, and she talked about it. So I got online, and I started looking, and we happened to find a little thick guy named Bo. And when she saw Bo, he captivated her heart instantly. And so she brought Bo home. And Bo and I became very close and bonded, more so than probably had any other dog prior to that. And so Bo grew, and Bo turned into 80 pounds and still thought he was a lap dog. He would climb up and lay on top of me, pin me in my chair as he would sleep there. And that was Bo. little over a year ago, though, we lost Bo. He died. And, you know, when you're captivated by love, your heart aches for something more. And so I started thinking again, like my daughter. And then on Valentine's Day last year, we brought home Theo. You know, and, you know, Theo has never met a person that he doesn't think is a friend, that he will start jumping and dancing and excited because he wants to see you. Now, Theo's a year old, and Theo now, he still thinks he's a lap dog, too. So he's not as big as Bo, but he'll still climb up and lay across me and sit on my lap. But, you know, when you see something that captivates you, you just want to have it and bring it home. Those two disciples coming to Jesus, he just says, come and see. I'm inviting you to come home with me. You know, and everything they'd heard about him made them want to be with him as well. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, when you come home, it was so exciting for them to be with Jesus that one of those two disciples was named Andrew, and the first thing he did is he went and he got his older brother Peter, and he brought Peter to meet with Jesus. Can you imagine if your little brother said, you got to come see this guy? And you know what happens with Peter? Comes the head of the apostles. Another one of the two was named Philip, and he goes and gets his friend Nathanael, and he says, you know, we found the Messiah. We found the one who we've been longing for years and years. And Nathanael knows something about Jesus, and, you know, being from Nazareth, and he's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You got to be kidding me. It's like, we found the one. He's from Beaver Falls. It's like, what do you mean, Beaver Falls? Nathanael says, but Philip says, you got to come and see. An invitation to come, you know, bringing Peter to meet Jesus. Or Nathanael, come with me and see. You know, because Jesus has this desire for all of us to belong to him. To be part of the family. To be not just a friend that's there, but you're brought into the family as part of the household. You know, have you ever been a visitor in someone's house where you spent the night for a couple nights? Or maybe you can think back when you were newlyweds and the first time as a couple you're staying at your in-law's house and how awkward it might have felt to, now I'm part of the family, but I'm not sure how I feel being in the family. You know what it's like when you're a guest in someone's home and you know, the things you don't even think about at home, but, you know, you're a guest. And so, you know, like when you get up in the middle of the night to head to the bathroom and it's down the hall and you're wondering, am I disturbing anybody? Will they hear the toilet flush? You know, that awkwardness of being in somebody else's house. Too often we come to church, even as believers, and we approach it more like we're guests rather than what we're members of the household of God, that we belong here, that we're with him, and that he has something that he's invited us to be a part of, that we're adopted into his family. We're no longer guests. You know, we can sit at the table. We can go open the refrigerator and raid the refrigerator. We can choose a channel on the TV. You know, you're part of God's household and family that you don't have to act like you can't do anything anymore because you're part of, he wants you and you belong to him. You're his children. You know, if you look through the scriptures, pay attention to some of the language that's used there, that it's that you have a new identity. You have a new identity as being part of God's household. Famous, well-known passage, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, where Jesus said, "Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me." He's saying, we have room in our house for you to live there. And that's, in the culture of the day, that was wedding language, where Jesus saying, this is what the bridegroom does with the bride is we're engaged, I'm going home, I'll get a place, and then I'll come and bring you back. Jesus is telling his disciples, you're no longer just other people. You're part of my family and household. Now I have room for you. Even farther on into verse 18 of John 14, he says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come and get you. Think about that as an orphan, you know. An orphan, they long for family, and they have no promise of any inheritance. They just have a desire to belong somewhere. And Jesus says, I won't leave you as an orphan. You belong to me. I will come and get you. Romans chapter 8, verses 14, 15, it says, we are the children of God. The Spirit has adopted us into sonship. We're no longer just guests. We're God's children. We belong to Him. We're part of His family. And Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 says, God predestined, He predetermined that the relationship we will have would be adopted as sons. Not your salvation, but the relationship you will have is adopted as sons. And that word sons is important no matter what gender you are. Because again, in the culture of the day, what Paul is saying is you now have been adopted to have the right of inheritance. If you read on through there, the seal of your inheritance is the Holy Spirit. God is saying that no matter whether you're man or woman, that you have the rights of the inheritance of being part of the family. Servants don't have that, but you're children of God. You belong to Him. You're someone that He's captivated by your love. And He looks at you just like someone would look at a puppy, and maybe you have kids and you've been with somebody that has puppies, and it's like right away, Mom, Dad, can we have one? God's looking at you and says, I want you. I want to take you home. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Jesus brought many sons and daughters to glory. Ephesians chapter 2, backing up. You're no longer or foreigners or strangers, but members of His household. You're no longer a guest in the house of God. You're part of the family. You have the rights of what being a member of the family includes. And then the passage we read from 1 John chapter 3. What great love God has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. Think about how great and how magnificent God is. You know, the creator of all the universe. That He's so huge and so immense that He set the universe. And if you've ever seen the picture of the pale blue dot, which is taken from hundreds of light years away, where, you know, God is so immense. And you're His children. He wants you. He wants you. Once you've known that power of being part of the family of God, being invited to come and see, come and find out where I live, come be a part of my family. Don't you want to be like John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sharing to other people and saying, let me show you Jesus. This is the one. Or being like Andrew, running and get his brother Peter and said, you got to come meet this guy. Or being like Philip, going to see Nathanael and said, we found the one. Come and see. God wants us all. There's more, and if you look through the scriptures, there's Zacchaeus in the tree where Jesus said, come down. We're going to have dinner together today. Blind Bartimaeus sitting along the road of Jericho, he's healed. And it says, then he got up and followed him on the way to Jerusalem. How do you think they knew his name? He wasn't just some blind guy sitting on the road. He was somebody that came along and is now part of the family. God wants you to know that you belong to him. You belong to him. You know, Theo's my dog. Theo's my dog, and he knows that. He took off yesterday, and Ann was trying to get him to come, and I stepped out, and I yelled, Theo, get back here, and he turned right around. He was heading into the woods and came on the run. He knows. Do you know that you belong to God? Do you know that he wants you? He wants you to crawl up in his lap and be comfortable to sleep there. Feel his hand upon you. And you can tell others, hey, I have a family. And my dad, he's God of the universe. You want to see him? Behold the Lamb of God. Let's pray together. Father, may you help us. Help us to acknowledge that we belong. Help us to understand, Lord, that we're not just creatures here on our own, but we're in your family. You've taken us in. You've given us the rights and privileges of being a brother or sister to Jesus Christ himself. And you've given us inheritance. Father, may we serve you. In Jesus' name.